It's recording, right? Good. And I owe you first an apology because I promised slow blackball lectures from this week on. If this problem persists, the blackball lectures may be the only choice anyway that we have, and I'm going to learn my lesson. But especially today, from next week on, I can actually, from the middle of this lecture, that I could probably mostly write definitions, theorems, exercises, and pictures on blackboard. But at least at the opening part of this lecture, I wanted to do a lot of talking, explanation, motivation, background story. And this doesn't work very well with blackboard only talk. Either I would have to stand here and keep on talking or write all this prose in my horrible handwriting on the blackboard, and neither option sounds very good. And moreover, also I want to have an opportunity to pick up a bit of speed, because the more I'm going to tell you today, the more you can use then later in the tutorials with new SMB about those temporologics, well, these basics of the formalisms that we are going to talk about, syntax and so on. It would be better to see at least one of them, possibly also bits and pieces of another one. So first, let us recall from the lecture last week that our models were transition systems of this consisting of the set of states, as you see here. The transition relation and labeling function. Maybe let's make it explicit. We are not going probably ever to have an opportunity to study transition systems with infinite set of states, but let's keep this option as a possibility. Well, at least not in the model checking part. Remember also that we made an additional assumption on our transition relation. It was supposed to be non-terminating, so every point had a successor. By the way, this notation, Cartesian product, everybody can read, right? You know what it is from Gloin or from any other introduction to mathematics. Is there anybody who has not seen this before? Okay, negative question was not a good idea. Who has seen this symbol before? Okay, good. Who knows what it means? Wait, you have seen the symbol, but you don't know what it means.
It depends on the category.
No, we are living in the category of sets. All our, at least in the model checking part, indeed it is true that in the second part of the lecture, when not today, but let's say from late November, when we start to do programming semantics of programming languages, it will make sense every now and then to think of other categories than the category of sets. But here, we are not thinking it as abstract categorical notion of product, which is defined by a suitable diagram, but rather in a special case of a limit, but rather ordinary set theoretical definition, which is what? Yes.
Elements.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Good, 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 good. Good. And what is this thing, by the way? Ordered pair. Of course, there are many ways which you can define, many possible definitions, many possible, so to say, set theoretical implementations of the notion of ordered pair. But But the one which is always taken in the base courses in mathematics, coming from Kuratowski, definition of ordered pair. I mean, everything is supposed to be a set in set theory. So what kind of set is this? Does anybody remember? No? Okay, so the convention which is used most often is that this is the way in which you distinguish the first element of the pair. I think this is this so-called Kuratowski definition of the pair. But this is just the question if you want to reduce everything to set theory, including even the most basic notion like order pair. And of course, one could as well take alternatively a definition where you take it to be pair of sets consisting of T and S and T, or whatever else. or at empty set or whatever, what matters is that this thing should not be the same as TS. Whereas this thing, of course, in set theory is the same as this. Right? This everybody knows. Who has not seen this, any of this before? Okay, now I'm not going to ask the positive question. I take this silence to be sign of consent. And the other thing that I already started introducing last week was labeling a function from states to atoms. Of course, there are various notions, various notations one can use for power set. Another is 2 to the power of 80. And, well, atoms in our setting will be most of the time written as letter P, Q, R, P1, R1, P2, Q2, R2. But, of course, they can stand for very different things. Such an atom can be saying that printer Q5 is busy, or process 3, 2, 5, 9 is suspended, or the content or register R1 is the integer value 6, and so on and so on. Because model checking is widely used in hardware, and both in hardware and in software verification, atoms can be all sorts of things. So far, so good. Right? Especially that I think all these ingredients were already last week. By the way, is the video of the last week lecture already online? Excuse me? Is the video of the last week lecture already online? Or I didn't? Not yet. Oh, so you see, you should not assume, even for this reason, you should not assume that you can always watch the video before next week lecture, because sometimes it will not show up. Good. But all these things we have already seen. And well, maybe before we go on, it's worth mentioning, this is just an aside, that in computer science, often people consider another kind of labeling, namely labeling of transitions. Here we have just a single transition relation, but you could imagine that you have various notion of transition labeled with actions. So A, B, and so on and so on. Not only states, but also transitions. So sets of pairs could be labeled. And why we have just a single transition relation? It's because we think of it as indicating potential scenarios of evolution of system in time. And we don't have, let's say, several different clocks or time flows. And labeling actions would make more sense with communicating processes. In fact, we have a lecture for this. It's called COMPAR, and those of you who are interested are more than welcome to have a look at this. And the formalisms which I use in reasoning about such communicating processes quite often include some modal logic-like features, like especially Hennessy-Milner logic. So, for the time being, these are just strange acronyms for us, but specification languages that we want to use will be temporal languages, which can be thought of as a special subclass of modal formalisms or modal logics. LTL, CTL, CTL with fairness constraints or fair CTL, CTL star, and mu calculi or logics with fixed point operators. And one of the questions would be, as I already indicated in the second part of the lecture last week, if one can somehow improve on satisfiability and especially model checking of predicate formalisms. So far we were all familiar with this way of writing things, right? In first order logic, this is how you would write the statement that, let's say, atom Q, printer X is busy, or process X has terminated, or whatever, at a given state X, well, I should actually write S, T, rather than X and Y for states, but whatever. And then you could write quantified sentences saying that for all states X prime, such that the atom Q holds in there, the item Q holds in them, even only if it is the case that that such a state has a successor Y where P holds, or something like this. And one could make it even more messy, by adding possibility of quantifying over, well, not quite atoms, but atom variables or propositional variables. This is the right name to call it. So this is the type of language that, this is something that you have already seen in GLOIN, right? I mean, maybe not second order quantification, but first order logic. Maybe you wouldn't write accessible iteration like this. This is just a matter of convention. But apart from this, this is familiar. At least to those who attended GLOIN, because we have some exceptions here. So one of differences with predicate logics is that our languages will not employ explicit variables ranging over states. So none of these x and y's that you are seeing. We will be building our formulas directly from atoms or propositions, connecting, joining them with various kinds of propositional connectives. And already last week, I mentioned types of problems that one would be interested in. The one that we have, again, seen in either GLOIN or in modal logic or in other advanced lectures like Knuckle, was given a formula phi, check if there exists some model and a state in that model where this formula holds. This problem is not completely irrelevant for us, but it is not as important as a slightly different problem, namely model checking problem. So given a formula phi, a model M and a state S, so now this all ingredients are parts of input, not just the formula itself. Check if our formula holds in this particular model and in at this particular state. This second problem for all the strange languages that I'm going to introduce later today and next week will be often easier to deal with in a slightly different version, where you are not starting your computation or your algorithm with concrete state S, but just with formula and the model on the input, and then you compute the set of all states in this particular model which satisfy our formula. And then, of course, having this set of all states, one can directly check if the last piece of the input, the individual state S, belongs to the denotation of our formula in the model. Is this clear? And this also means that model checking problem has, we forget about that state S, but both formula whose validity you want to check in the model and the model itself are part of the input, and therefore both of them can be treated or not as parameters when you discuss complexity of model checking problem for your language. So what properties we want to express in our languages? Well, first of all, let us recall that we want to think of models as finite automata. This is why we also said that this accessibility relation has to be non-terminating, right? Because in automata, you also want to keep making transitions. We are thinking of, let's say, Bush automata, things which can, if they were accepting words, they would be accepting infinite words or infinite places. And in discussing model checking algorithms, we will also see that there is a correspondence between such accepting, trace accepting automata and formulas themselves, formulas which are specifications. So there is a bit of funny situation here, because we want to specify automata or states, properties of states in this automata, and we are using, in a sense, automata themselves to specify properties of the automata. But most of the time, this is only a view of formulas which we are going to employ when discussing model checking algorithm for one of these temporal languages, namely LTL. Most of the time, of course, our formulas will be just pieces of syntax, not automata. And let us not jump ahead with this. This may be too much for the time being. So what are these properties that we want to express? Well, maybe safety. We want to say that bad things should never happen. But also lightness. Good things should eventually happen. What kind of good things? For example, starvation freedom, to make it slightly more concrete. Each process should ultimately get access to a critical resource after each request. Fairness, ruling out infinite behavior patterns when we want to check if some unpleasant scenario or desirable scenario is possible, like preventing endless idling. And if we have possibly branching evolution scenarios, so if our relation is not deterministic, these are not quite properties of individual states, these are properties of paths or infinite traces in those models. And what are those paths? Well, these are functions from natural numbers. By the way, I'm going away. It's quite confusing even in some standard references, because sometimes people start in the indices with zero and sometimes with one. So I'm trying to be consistent and always start with zero. Our paths are indexed by natural numbers, so functions starting from n or n0, as it's sometimes written, to the set of states, underlying set of states of our model, such that for every natural number n, p of n is related to its successor. Right. Ah, I should have removed it, sorry. This is, in fact, I will cross it out later on then in the version of the slides I'm going to put online. This is not going to be, these two things are not going to be exactly one and the same thing. I will explain this later, why. Well, I can already say what this thing is going to be for me. It's going to be the path truncated to n. And it's going to be much easier to express basic satisfaction definition, define semantics when having this kind of notation or abbreviation. Sorry, this was just left over from the last time. So instead of defining formulas or a specification for states, another option is to start with defining formulas or a specification for paths and the notion of path validity. So we having some kind of model like whatever, it can look anywhere it likes. A, B, C, D. What are some examples of paths? Can you name two or three paths that you are seeing here, starting in A? According to this definition. Yes? Okay, slow. A, B, D. Ah, this is not very good model what I drew here because there are no pervert examples and it's useful sometimes to have distinction. Okay, A, B, D, but what does it mean? It is, so P of 0 here is A, P of 1 is B, P of 2 is D, and then pi of 3 in this particular example, if this is a function from natural number to states. Yes, that's one option. So one way to write it would be like this, right? Or if you want, you can use, this should be actually not even star because that would mean the arbitrary many finite iterations of D, but we can be lazy and write this path like this. And other examples would be, so P4 would be D and so on and so on. Other example would be, what was another example that you gave?
A and Q times B and then B, or we could also use loop path to say
Wait, just give one path. So two
that's
times
one.
B.
Then A, B, whatever you want, and then finally D as well.
Okay. All right. So here you have P of 0 being 1. P of 0 being A, P of 1 being B, P of 2 being B, and then P of 3 being D, and so on and so on and so on. There are also other examples, like here you see A, C, E, and then you have path which is infinitely oscillating here, right? Or it could be also something like A, C, C, E, because it can keep looping at C as many times as it likes, yes?
So these paths always have to be infinite? Or
yes, I mean, this is the definition, right? The definition says it's a function from natural number to the set of states.
Okay.
So they have to be defined for all natural numbers, and they have to have this property, right? They have all the value of P or P on the index n has to be related by transition relation to n plus 1. So we are talking about, as I said, something that you could also call infinite computation traces rather than finite ones. Okay, so far we don't know how our formulas look like, but we know what we want to reason about or what. So we have two possible semantic entities. One is states themselves, another are paths in the model. So how one could use then path formulas to talk about states? Well, one would be to use directly path formulas for states, and validity of a path formula at the state S could be then validity in all paths pi which start at S. And this is indeed the option that is taken in the first formalism that we want to discuss today, namely LTL, which stands for linear temporal logic, which historically was the first major temporal formalism using verification. And in fact, it was invented by philosophers to talk about time flows. So linear order structure, as if you would kill out everything which is not in the path and look only at this path, or rather its infinite unraveling as natural numbers with labeling. Well, philosophers also wanted to consider possibility of non-discrete time flows, so they were even talking about real numbers as another model of time flow. And this guy in particular, in his PhD, has shown that if you think about time flow as being real numbers, then this LTL formalism that I want to show you can do exactly as much as first-order logic, which was rather a surprising discovery. So the building ingredients will be, we will still have a few slides to wait until I give you formal definition, but maybe you can already begin to imagine how such a satisfaction definition would look like. Path, or rather initial point at this path, satisfies x phi if phi holds at the next instant. So you have ways of saying that some things is not true at this very moment or at this very stage of evolution, but it will become true from next moment on. A more complicated or more interesting binary connective was until. So phi holds at all instances until psi becomes true. We will give a formal definition of that later. F phi, which is often written using ordinary diamond of modal logic, but especially with LTL, I would prefer, and also with CTL, I would prefer to use this ordinary modal logic notation that I showed you last week. F phi means that phi holds at some future instant. And G phi, it's a bit funny because here, and here you see where the acronyms came from. With G, it's slightly harder to see that. Phi holds at all future instants, so in time number 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and whatever else. But it took quite a while before this formalism started to be used in verification. This was proposed by Amir Knueli in 1981 in the paper on temporal semantics of concurrent programs. And already in that, in theoretical computer science, and already in that paper, he was very much, the author was very much focused on the notion of fairness, which also is going to be a big deal here in this lecture, and even more so in the NUSMB tutorial. Well, actually, many people credit Knueli's introduction of temporal logic to verification to conference version of this paper in 1977, but when I was preparing this lecture today, I had a look at the conference version, and I didn't see temporal operators. There were just modal boxes and diamonds, and only in the journal version he was quoting this work of people who were working on time flows and using connectives like until and whatnot. So that's the first formalism that we are going to see soon in more detail with definition, proper formal semantic definition, basic properties, and so on and so on. But it also offers us opportunity to write some of these properties that I briefly mentioned in more formal way. So whatever is this bad property, maybe, for example, a system crashing or a printer coming out of ink or running out of ink or whatever else, G not will be the property that is that our path has to satisfy them. This liveness or starvation freedom business is each process should ultimately get access to critical resource after each request. Every time, always, in every possible instant in the future, whenever a request happens, then at some instant, still after that request, it's going to be granted again. Of course, our definition of liveness were so far rather hand-waving, so I said that good things should eventually happen, and I gave you this as an example. In 1980s, there were several references, some senior people were interested, is there any formal, most general possible way one can define what those safety, fairness, and liveness properties are, possibly even without using formalism like this temporal logic. And I can give you some references to those few who would be interested in this. But most formal definitions of liveness properties would entail that every finite execution path can be extended to a live infinite path. And authors of the paper defining liveness, Alperen and Schneider even quote Cicero, Roman rhetor or philosopher, while there's life, there's hope. So finite traces, finite prefixes can are never in completely hopeless position. And you can see that every finite prefix can be extended to the one satisfying this property, whereas with safety, as soon as things break down once in one time instant, in the whole path is gone, and it cannot be set to be safe anymore. And most importantly, and for us, it's also very easy to express those type of properties which are saying that stupid developments should be excluded. So, for example, our process should get to work arbitrarily often in future. No matter how far you go, how many times you iterate the system, there should be still instances still further in future where we are not idle. This is or when the request is made again, so that the scheduler has to get to work, whatever. And in general, the fairness properties will be expressed in our formalism LTL by using this combination GF of modalities. So as you see, for this type of properties, LTL syntax is just perfect. But as we are going to see in much more detail, model checking is not entirely trivial. We can keep it in quite nice polynomial, I think linear, in the size of input model. But remember, we had these two parameters of model checking problem. One was the size of model itself, another was the size of formula or specification. And if you take also the formula itself to be part of the input, then complexity blows up exponentially. But it is possible to design a non-deterministic algorithm which is running in a space polynomial in the size of the model and the input formula. And when we're talking about polynomial space complexity, does this bit matter? No, right? This is only something probably which those of you who attended Compaq while it was still have heard. I don't think it's even mentioned at GLOI or PROC. But there is a result called Savage's theorem by Savage, which is of course then called Savage's theorem, saying that NP space and P space are one and the same thing. So we had a P space model checking algorithm for LTL, and that's as good as it gets, but it's not very impressive, right? So as long as we can keep formula itself fixed, then complexity of model checking is okay. But if you want to vary the formula, things can go bad. And also, as I already suggested, and as we're going to see in quite some detail, to describe this algorithm, we need to translate formulas to automata, and this is a bit painful. But also fun, of course. What are the other problems? Well, we said that a path formula holds at the given state if it holds along all paths beginning at S. And this means that if you want to express properties which would require combining universal and existential quantifier over paths which are available at a given state S, and its successors, then it may not be obvious how to do if you only have those path formulas. One example of such a property is reachability, or issues which require this kind of specifications are reachability issues. For example, when one wants to find if our model contains a deadlocked state. So what we can say in the syntax that I mentioned before, and which I'm going to define formally again in 15 minutes together with semantics, is that a given formula is false or true if you replace not phi by with phi at every reachable state. And this formula, this path formula G non-phi will be false at a given state rather than path. Well, if there is a path where G non-phi is false, which means that S can reach some S prime along some path, such that phi is true at this S prime. But then we will have problems, as we are going again to see on concrete examples, when we want to express that every reachable state S prime can in turn reach, possibly by a different path, a state S bis, or prime prime, where phi holds again. So for every reachable state but some path, there exists another reachable one, but reachable possibly by a different path. This is important bit here, such that something holds. So almost simultaneously with this famous paper by Pnuelli that I mentioned, which introduced linear temporal logic to verification, there was another paradigm, which we're going to start covering from next week on in more detail, and which started long sectarian war in model checking. Even, I think, until today and definitely in the last 3 or 4 decades, you could find lots of instances of people disagreeing what is the ultimately right way of doing things. So this other paradigm that I want to talk about is computation tree logic, known under acronym CTL. And as you see, it's almost perfectly contemporary. Actually, it's contemporary with publication of the journal version of Noueri's paper. In two you can trace it ultimately to two different references, one by Clark and Emerson in 1981, and another formalism by Cale and Sifakis, it's probably a French name, so I don't pronounce it well, in 1982. So in CTL, one uses LTL, maybe I should write LTL-like modalities to build state formulas. But you are prefixing these modalities with path quantifiers. So you can write things like AX, AF, AG, AU, meaning that for all paths starting in a given state, something holds. And you can also prefix them with E, meaning that for some paths starting in this state, EX, EF, EG, EU, also for some path, formula phi is true at the next state, or for some path, phi is true along all points along this path, or for some path, this formula phi until psi holds. And this language can be seen much more directly as an extension of ordinary modal logic that I very briefly showed you last time, with modalities for immediate successor relation and its transitive closure, and because of this until thing, also something more. I'm not sure if I have anything more about, well, I have still something more about CTL, okay. In particular, what I already want to say, and again, we will see this in details in the lecture, is that model checking works just beautifully. It is linear both in the size of the input model and in the size of the input formula. The way you define this model checking algorithm is directly incorporating fixed point properties or fixed point definitions of the connectives that we are going to see. The problem is that some of the properties which used to be expressible in linear temporal logic are not expressible anymore. In fact, from the point of expressivity, there is no inclusion in either direction. CTL is not contained in LTL, and LTL is not contained in CTL. And most painfully, we lose those central fairness properties that are going to be such a great deal for us. But model checking algorithm can be easily extended to accommodate those fairness constraints. And there were extensions explicitly designed to include those fairness requirements or fairness constraints. The first of them actually quite early by Emerson and LA, FCTL being CTL with fairness constraints, and very, very recently, in fact, just this year, still more interesting or powerful extension to fair CTL by Ghilardi and Barangol. Actually, I would be quite tempted to do this in this lecture too. It might be then one of the first lectures in the world in formal methods where this extension is presented. Right. And then I told you that CTL is not quite contained in LTL from the point of view expressive properties, but also LTL is not quite contained in CTL. And it was also proposed, all in this golden swinging 80s, it was CTL star, proposed by Emerson and Clark. Again, we are going to get detailed definition later on. In this introductory part, I just want to tell you that both path and state formulas will be explicitly part of the syntax, and they would be defined by mutual recursion. The funny thing is that model checking, well, it cannot be any better than in case of LTL, and remember that already in LTL, if you included input formulas part of the formula to be checked as part of the input, you got into P space, and then it means that model checking for CTL star has to stay in P space, but it's not getting any worse. I don't think it will make much sense to do algorithm, model checking algorithm for a city and a star, but it's just useful piece of, or useless piece of information to mention. And of course, one could extend further and further, but I'm not going to torture you in those forthcoming 2 or 3 weeks with further extensions, especially that I don't think you need it for new SMB or new XMP. Alternating temporal logic, modal mu calculi, so extension of fixed points, and so on and so on. But these things are even less intuitive, and model checking is, I mean, they are useful sometimes for model checking, but that wouldn't be fun at all for you if we try to play around with it. But just to illustrate the importance and influence of those concepts, I told you there was a sectarian war. So how did it end? Well, first of all, Pnuelli, the guy who introduced temporal logic to model checking, got Turing Award. I said that this is kind of Nobel Prize for computer scientists in 1996, specifically for that. So, or well, amongst other things for that too, but I think this was probably one of the most important factors. In the citation for this award, the committee said that it's for his seminal work on introducing temporal logics into computer science and for outstanding contributions to program and system verification. And then Clark, Emerson, and Sipakis, names that we have also seen before, got Turing Awards, got the Turing Award 10 years later in 2007 for their roles in developing model checking into a highly effective verification technology widely adapted in hardware and software industries. So it's like sometimes with Nobel Peace Nobel Prizes at the end of the conflict, where two fighting sides got Nobel Prize, Peace Nobel Prize each. And so, what are we going to do from now on? We begin with LTL, with its syntax and semantics, and we will discuss in detail examples of expressible properties. There will be some changes I need to make before uploading those slides. Sufficient set of connectives, fixed point characterizations of those connectives. Then we do the same things with CTL. We compare both, as I said, introducing the CTL star as the common ground, and model checking for CTL and its extension with fairness, because this is very nice and sweet model checking algorithm. And then probably we need to torment ourselves just a bit with model checking for LTL. At least this idea of formulas as automata, it's probably something that we should not be allowed to skip here in this lecture. And I'm not going to say more about CTL today, Christoph, but of course now we are going to say much more about LTL. Can you work with this in your tutorial? Okay, good. So now we can take a deep breath. I'm not going to throw more slides, and well, I'm still going to go on with slides for a few more minutes, but I'm not going to throw more words, sentences, citations. We are just going to go step by step now. So this is how syntax of LTL looks like. It's very, very Spartan set of connectives. So we start with atoms. We allow ourselves to negate them. We allow ourselves to form conjunction. We're writing this X-phi connective, which I told you is going to mean phi holds in the next state. And we are also going to say phi holds until psi. These are the basic connectives. As we are going to see almost immediately, lots of other things or other connectives can be defined in this language. Semantics, as I said, will be defined in terms of paths in models. And as I said, I need to define path truncation, path shifted by n, in a very obvious way to formulate some of these clauses of the satisfaction definition. And also, because I said when moving from path formulas to state formulas, you often want to speak about all paths beginning at a specific point, it's useful to have some kind of notation. I propose this. It's not, there's nothing special canonical about it, but it's as good or as bad as another candidate I can think of. For the set of all paths in M which are beginning at S, such that P0 is S. So, how our semantic goes? Sorry, some people at the end look frustrated. If I'm going too quickly with slides and you're trying to make notes, let me know. I can wait.
1 minute.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, right, can I keep talking? So that you do not get bored. Well, okay, even before I give definition, I mean, protest every time, right? It's your right to have this lecture, especially when I'm speaking English, heavily accented, to have it given at the right speed. Right, okay, so but even before we give this satisfaction definition, what for sure can be defined in this language? Even though it's not written here. Already, can you see some obvious things that I did not write, but I could? Yeah? Nobody? Any connective that is obviously definable in this language. Okay, I didn't give you semantics, so I cannot complain. So, first of all, the satisfaction clause for atoms is a bit funny. So we are moving again from path to state, and we are saying that the path satisfies a propositional atom if its first element, the first state in this, or zero, this is the problem with starting in the indexes with zero, if its zero element satisfies this atom. Remember, this was this labeling function, right, which was assigning to every point in the set of states a collection of atoms. Okay, and then, of course, conjunction and negation are as usual, right? So, path satisfies a negation of a formula if it doesn't satisfy the formula, the path formula itself. Conjunction, again, just as usual. So, a path satisfies a conjunction of formulas if it satisfies the first conjunct and the second conjunct. Nothing impressive happens here. This is the first interesting connective. The next or successor one, x phi holds at the path. If it holds at the path moved by one step, so if it holds at the next point, for example, in case of this path, it would satisfy x phi if this path satisfies phi. Is it clear? Or not quite. Maybe for those for whom it is clear, I'm already going to show the next clause. This was our A, B, D, D, D. X phi holds here. If this is this truncation B D D D satisfies phi. Clear enough? It phi holds at the next. Well, the reason why I'm saying that phi holds in the next step is because path validity very much depends, in fact, on validity in the very first or the zeroth element in the initial point of that path. And now the interesting bit, the first one where we need to sweat out a bit in order to understand what this clause is saying. And maybe it's easier indeed if I try to draw even very messy pictures where while speaking. I also erased some of the example of the pup. Let's say we are looking at this one. So A, C, C, E, C, C, E, so on and so on. This one, right? Remember, this was an example of a path in this system. Satisfies phi until psi if there is a point somewhere in future. We don't know exactly where, which one. We just know that it exists somewhere. Let's say this is our n. Such that the second formula psi holds for this path. And when you truncate this path anywhere earlier, anywhere before, you will get a path satisfying phi. So this whole path has to satisfy phi. The path truncated to the first. So in this case, n is equal to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So P, which is of course the same thing as P0, satisfies phi. P1 satisfies phi. Sorry, maybe when I'm writing on the blackboard, I should not use this notation for phi, but the handwritten phi. You know that in Greek, this is the printed version of phi, and this is the handwritten one, for a good reason, right? Because if you write it in the same way as you print it, then it looks like empty set or whatever. So P1 has to satisfy phi. Also, when you truncate it to 2, P2 has to satisfy phi, P3 satisfies phi, and P4 satisfies phi. So because morally we think of those path formulas as being satisfied in the initial point of this path, it means that phi holds here, 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 and psi holds from this moment on. It doesn't matter what happens with phi here, or here, or here. Right? We are only making sure that in this initial part or prefix of the path, phi holds. And from this moment on, psi will. Is this clear? Kind of. Well, of course, we are going to do much more examples, both here in the lecture, and even more so, you will get to feel it live in the tutorials. And now we can define various abbreviations using our connective. So I was already trying to nudge you on the last slide. I was trying to make you say that, of course, we can define disjunction. Of course, we can define implication and by implication or equivalence connective. in the same way as we do it with propositional logic, in the same way as we do it with predicate logic in GLOIN. And more interestingly, we can also define some additional modalities. Maybe before I go here, let's make double sure that we know how to define Booleans. So for example, when it would be the case that I'm not sure if with this darkness you can see then whether it's going to be recorded. Is it visible here? Yeah, I don't need to switch on the light. Okay. And actually, this is giving us enough material to play around in the next 20 minutes, so the rest of this lecture, really, I think. So, but first, let's do the easy stuff. So, when it will be the case that... When it will be the case that... our path in a model satisfies a disjunction of formulas? Anybody? Okay, well, maybe first let us say how to define it in a Boolean using syntactically using other connectives. So what would that be? I'm saying too much. Come on, you have seen it. You know how it works. Who has not seen Boolean definition of disjunction? Okay, so we know it. Nobody raised their hand. So, can I choose a person at random, or somebody is going to take one for the team? And how does one define disjunction in classical propositional logic? Yes? Exactly. And of course, the idea semantically is that this happens if I should write it more in a more calligraphic way. If either this holds or this holds. So a trivial exercise, and we are going to do much more interesting exercises of this kind with modalities, would be to show that indeed, if disjunction is defined like this, this indeed holds. We could do it now. I don't want to leave any bonus House of Gabber, whatever, because you're not going to do your tutorials anyway, and it's pointless to do given the other kind of House of Gabber. So I'm trying to only give you exercises that we are going to solve immediately, but this you have seen, come on. How do you define implication, by the way, in the... What is phi implies psi? Yes, good. Exactly. Wonderful. And of course, the idea is that something like this holds at a given path if, well, one needs to say the same thing in words. Either it is not the case that phi holds at pi, or psi holds at pi. So, under very narrow or very primitive reading of implication, at least, it doesn't make sense really to use universal quantifier. So, if, because we're talking about concrete pi here, so if M pi satisfies psi whenever it satisfies phi. In this sense, it is a bit like implication in ordinary language, but it only works properly if you're talking about general validity. So if for any m and for any pi, whenever phi holds up pi, then psi holds up pi. Right. Okay, so this we have seen before and we know how it works. And we also have by implication or equivalence connective, which is phi implies psi and psi implies phi. So all these things I'm going to be using freely. And I'm not going to do the same exercise when we're going to do semantics for, let's say, CTL or CTL star. I assume that it's rather obvious. And now we go to those defined abbreviations. And we now need to do the same thing, which is much more interesting, with semantic meaning of those connectives. These ones are not only easy, but I already told you what they are. This one is only slightly more difficult. This one, if you have not seen it before, that's a bit of a challenge to get it really. Right. So absolutely, don't be frustrated if you can do it now on paper. I'm going to give that this definition later on. For the time being, this. I already suggested what is the intended reading of this F phi. Anybody. It's defined, here I'm introducing it as something defined using until. So it's just a matter of using this definition. Phi, F of phi, or diamond phi, is true until phi. What it means, there must exist an N such that, well, it's quite a bit confusing, maybe I should have written psi, because now I have to substitute one with the other. So here the role of psi is played by phi. So there has to exist an N such that P truncated to this N satisfies phi. And for every larger prefix or less dramatic truncation, well, is it a non-trivial connective? I didn't introduce stop I should have also said what this thing means. This, of course, means that the top connective is simply trivial specification, which is valid at every path. So for any m and for any pi, for every pi in every m, it is the case that m pi satisfies top. So from now on, sorry, that was an oversight on my side, we are treating top also as a basic connective. And we also introduced another abbreviation, because we have negation in our language. We are defining bottom or absolute constants as negation of top. So with this definition, what we are saying here in this bit can be completely neglected, right? Because this is a trivial condition satisfied by every path, including all those possible truncations. So m pi satisfies f pi if what holds? Anybody? I already said that. You just need to get rid of one part of this definition. If there exists an N, so if there exists a state further on this path, in which, I should avoid writing this printed phi, where phi holds. It's unreadable. So it is like transitive modal diamond, right? This f phi is checking if there is any point at all somewhere in future, any state at all somewhere in this part, on this particular trace, on this particular path where phi holds. How about this one then? If this is the satisfaction clause. What does this mean? Yes?
There's no state in the future where phi doesn't hold.
Very good. So is there a simpler way in which we can say the same thing?
Phi holds for all future
states. Exactly. So if we want to write it in terms of paths and path truncations as our official semantic goes, we write it as if for all n in future we have that m by n makes right. So it is a bit, we can, if we are familiar with modal logic or modal notation, it is like box or the transitive closure of our transition relation. This connective is known as weak until. What is it saying? What is the maybe bracketing is not obvious. I didn't introduce explicitly binding priority of this connective, so bracket is here. What is this thing saying? Yes?
At the time that phi doesn't hold anymore, then psi holds. So either phi holds forever, or
exactly.
Sometime phi holds.
Well, the first disjunct was in what you said was correct. So it is either the case that phi holds forever, or it holds all the time until some point, equivalently the first point where psi becomes true. So the original, so this one is more properly box-like. It is not making any existential assumptions, or more like proper universal quantifier. In the original until connective, what we were saying that there was some existential clause or existential bit, so we could also use it, as you have seen, to define this future diamond. This connective is weaker and less expressive, so this holds if either this. So if for phi, so for all n in n, m phi n makes phi true, or maybe I should make it colorful. And maybe let me write clearly that this is thing is called weak until. Or there exists there exists n in n such that, and then everything that we had in the definition of until, such that pi n makes psi true, and for all I smaller than n, truncation to I, or the states in between the zero, the initial states, and n, make phi true. And maybe let us already write as a remark, because this is going to be useful also in understanding more complicated connectives and equivalence results in future, like this R thing. Note that it is enough to look at the first point on the path where psi becomes true. True, and of course, points between initial state and this point. This is a trick that is useful to in working out semantic exercises like this. So, any guesses as to what this thing can possibly mean? Anybody has seen this, by the way? Anybody knows how it should be read, even? So sometimes we have stupid names like this G, which is not really meaning anything. This R is actually supposed to mean something, in English, of course. Well, as I said, it's not easy to see. It requires a bit of playing around. Maybe before I read out this definition and we don't have so much time actually, we try to work out why this connective means what I'm saying here. Let me explain what it means in words. It means that phi releases psi. Okay, and there is another thing we're missing. And if I should have it here. So either psi has to hold all the time until, and now this until means including that very moment, we have weak inequality here, until some particular moment in the future where phi becomes true. Or if that is missing here, if phi does not show up at all, if there is no point in future where phi holds, then just like with weak until, psi has no choice, it is not released ever, its savior does not arrive on the white horse, and has to hold on forever on this path. This is what this strange definition is saying. Again, I'm not sure if I want to go any further today because we are coming close to the end, or do we want to work this out? Okay, maybe let's leave it, because I will have to spend some time next week on this basic definitions, connectives of LTL. Anyway, so maybe let's return to it at the beginning of next lecture and try to show that, and I very much encourage you to do it at home, because I may or may not do it on Blackboard depending on how much time I have. Why this syntactic abbreviation, the syntactic definition I showed on the last slide, is equivalent to it. And this is slightly more non-trivial than all the exercises that we did so far. Yeah, and as I said, there are some funny things happening here, like this weak inequality appearing, God knows why. And, well, what we were doing already implicitly here is to talk about equivalences between formulas. We should probably define this notion formally and use some notation for it. So we say that phi and psi are equivalent if, for all possible models or transition label transition systems and all paths in those models, phi holds at that model and that path, if and only if psi holds at that model and that path. By the way, we have already defined, well, I already raised it, this equivalence connective or by implication, and of course, this definition I gave here can be restated in terms of this defined connective. Phi and psi are equivalent if phi equivalent to psi is valid on all paths in all models. So there are many more interesting equivalences that we will need in our proofs, we will need in our model checking algorithms, and which will be also useful for you when trying to understand what you're actually trying to write in our model checkers or in our tools like NewSMB. And some of them we can just at least state, probably not proof anymore on this hopefully final slide, hopefully. So one of the, well, this, okay, this you probably have already seen. What is more interesting is that this X is self-dual, and it's only because we are working on linear structures. The paths themselves are deterministic. Until can be defined in terms of release. And weak until can be defined in terms, strong until can be also defined in terms of weak until if you also have this F as primitive. Weak until and release are also connected in a somewhat more funny way, but I will return to these equivalences at the beginning of the next lecture. And the very, okay, this is the last slide, that I know for sure. So, finally, we get to define what it means for a LTL formula to be true at a state rather than a path. Remember that I introduced this notation, capital pi of S, for the set of all paths beginning at S. And as I said, a path formula is true at a state if it's true at all, now understood as part of entire model, not just this single path. If it's true at all paths beginning at it. Oh, and this is a typo, there should be a negation here. So is this a Boolean definition? Is it the case that a path formula, the negation of the negated path formula is true at a given state, if and only if the path formula is not true under this satisfaction definition of the state? Well, okay, we have to finish anyway, so you have more than enough material to chew until next week. I will return to this last two or three slides that I glided through at the beginning of next week, and we will practice a bit more. And as I said, now you have already some formalism to work with also in tutorials. So, any questions? Yes? Oh, has anybody managed to open them?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, so I thought that Christoph sent it in an email. Are you on the mailing list?
No.
You are not on the mailing list. Okay, so we have to add you on the mailing list, and then I will not save it on video, and... sorry?
I should be on the stage.
Okay, if you're not, then I will send it to you directly by normal email, and I keep steam because you never know, maybe these videos will leak through. Public domain. Any other questions? If not, then see you next week and you see Christoph on Friday.